Blog Talk Radio.
What does it mean when we use the words authentic life? Living the authentic life. And what does it mean when we use the words true prosperity? Good morning. I'm God's Gumshoe, and this is Spirit Quest. Spirit Quest is an investigation into another dimension, the spiritual dimension. Spirit Quest is an investigation into the spiritual aspect of the human journey, your journey. Please sit back, relax, and join us for the next half hour as we meditate on, listen to, reflect upon and contemplate the words of the poet, the scribe, and the many moods of music that assist us in our investigation of another dimension, the spiritual dimension. In our last episode, we discussed the prayer of Saint Francis and the importance of becoming harmony workers in our world. We need to learn to flow with the rhythm of the universe, the finite me striking step with the infinite symphony of eternity, the symphony of the supreme. And so today, continuing on with our themes of starting points, and questions on the spiritual journey, questions for the angels. We ask why. Why is it so important we work out these elements of becoming more harmonious? The reason is quite simple. Because when we look out through our window into the world, we see that our world is in crisis. And it needs us to come together like a symphony and begin to play the new symphony entitled Building a World That Works. This is our world. This is our symphony. This is the time in our program when we like to take a few moments just to relax, decompress a bit, to meditate on that divine spirit that is within us. So I invite you to just relax, become aware of your breathing, and to move ever so gently towards that garden space, that sacred place within you that we call the garden of the soul. This garden that we planted last visit and are weeding each time that we come of our ineffective habits, our attitudes, behaviors, and thoughts in order to renew that garden and allow it to grow. Today, as you approach, you see that something new has been added, something between you and your garden. As you get closer, you recognize a beautiful stone well sits just in front of your garden. Of course, you walk over and you look into the well. And you see that there is water in it. And as you listen, you hear the ripple of the water and a whispering, a soft and welcoming voice begins to speak from the depths of the well. It says, "Greetings, my child. This is your well. This is your well of hope, of renewal, and of regeneration. The Divine Spirit in you is the source of continual ministry to you. There is coming to you unbroken encouragement and unlimited energy continually flowing to you as it flows through you. Your spiritual life, like physical energy, is consumed. Spiritual effort results in relative spiritual exhaustion. Your whole ascendant mortal experience is real as well as spiritual. And it is truly written, it is the Spirit that quickens, the Spirit that gives life, the Spirit that renews energy to you. Your power and your achievement come to you through the renewing of this Spirit. And so, my child, drink. Drink of this water. You see a crystal cup on the edge of the well with a silver thread attached, and you lower it down deep into the well and bring it up full. You put it to your lips, and it smells like a bouquet of flowers and tastes like a mountain glacier, fresh and cool. As you are drinking, you look over the top of the cup, and you see small springs beginning to bubble up throughout this garden. Your garden, the garden of your soul. Once again, the voice begins to speak, saying, "It is the presence of this divine spirit, the water of life, that prevents the consuming thirst of mortal discontent and that indescribable hunger of the unspiritualized human mind. Spirit-motivated beings never thirst. For this spiritual water shall be in them a well of satisfaction springing up into life everlasting." Such divinely watered souls are all but independent of material environment as regards the joy of living and the satisfaction of earthly existence. They are spiritually illuminated and refreshed, morally strengthened and endowed from within. And the purpose of all this ministration is that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner you. And all this represents but the preliminary steps to the final attainment of the perfection of faith and service. That experience wherein you shall be filled with the fullness of God. For it is written that all those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. And this Spirit never drives, only leads. If you are a willing learner, if you want to attain spiritual levels and reach divine heights, if you sincerely desire to reach the eternal goal, then the Divine Spirit will gently and lovingly lead you along the path of spiritual progression. But every step that you take must be one of willingness, intelligent and cheerful cooperation. And so, my child, come to this well each morning to renew and refresh and regenerate that spirit energy in you to power you through each day of your life here on earth. And come to this garden and to this well each night. For a few moments, bring your trials, your tribulations, your daily troubles, and cast them onto the compost pile, as we have with all of our past experiences and trials and our tribulations. For it is this compost that serves as the foundation to nurture the seeds that we have planted last week, the companion plants to the tree of life, our soul. And so we sit for a moment and allow that Spirit to touch our soul. And we know that this day our life is full and rich in the experience of life and in the joy of the Spirit God within us, guiding and directing us each step of the way towards our destiny. And we say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Mother, Father, God. Amen.
Hey, God, I got questions. Maybe you got some answers. I've been feeling a little distraught. Tell me, why am I here? And what should I wear? And what about Shakespeare? Did he write them or not? After countless revisions of doubtful decisions, I've thrown out my old point of view. All my plans found a way of going astray, so I'm turning it over to you. used to be taller, I used to run faster, I used to be tricky and tough. I used to believe the world could be had if I wanted it badly enough. One day I awoke from that terrible jolt and discovered I hadn't a clue. Now I can't keep on driving this rusty old life, so I'm turning it over to you. Give the wheel to the one who knows where we're going. I'm turning it over to you.
Isn't that just how so many of us want our life to go? Just somebody come in and take care of me. Somebody come in and take care of all of these problems. Please, God, I'm just turning it over to you. But that's not what the authentic life is about. And it's not about what true prosperity is. Living a life, the authentic life, is about living a life of meaning, certainly gratification, and fulfillment. But it's not about getting what you want, necessarily. The authentic life, living the authentic life, and true prosperity, is about satisfying something that is deep and longing within you. The authentic life and true prosperity soothe your soul. We've all had those moments. We've all experienced those moments when your mind, your spirit, and your soul are all in alignment. There's a sweet spot where synchronicity, these happy coincidences, and serendipity, these happy findings, bring into your existence something that is absolutely tremendous. All of these things just line up with the energy spirit that is within you, this sweet spot. And what we see is that there's a huge change of consciousness that's taking place on our planet. Many of us are calling it the second axial age. It's about opening up this new level of consciousness, aligning these energies of body, mind, spirit, and soul to upstep the consciousness, the awareness that flows through us, this cosmic consciousness. And so what we want to do in living the authentic life and creating true prosperity for ourselves is to align ourselves with this new energy force that seems to be taking over our planet, much the same way as it did in the first axial age. There's a huge shift taking place. And so that's going to be the theme of our next 7 episodes. What are the 7 aspects of the human experience that we need in order to feel like we're living the authentic life and feel that true prosperity? And last week, we started to talk about the importance of harmony, that there's a harmony energy in the universe that when we align ourselves with it, we too begin to live in harmony. So for our next 7 programs, we're going to discuss the 7 keys to ascension, the 7 keys to the symphony of the universe, about building a world that works. Here, from the Urantia Papers in paper 110, we read, "There is only an indirect relationship between cosmic circle attainment and actual spiritual religious experience. Such attainments are reciprocal and therefore mutually beneficial. Purely spiritual development may have little to do with the planetary material prosperity, but circle attainment always augments the potential for human success and mortal achievement. In the life you now live on your rancha, every man, woman, and child must, perforce, serve two masters. Perforce is something necessary that must be done by force of circumstances. By force of circumstances, we must serve two masters. We must be adept in the art of a continuous human temporary compromise while we yield spiritual alliance to but one master, that spirit within. And this is why so many falter and fail, grow weary and succumb to the stress of the evolutionary struggle." Again, in paper 110, we read, "Although the divine indwellers are chiefly concerned with your spiritual preparation for the next stage of the never-ending existence, they are also deeply interested in your temporal welfare and in your real achievements on earth. They are delighted to contribute to your health, happiness, and true prosperity. They are not indifferent to your success in all matters of planetary advancement. It requires intelligence to secure one's share of the desirable things of life. It is wholly erroneous to suppose that faithfulness in doing one's daily work will ensure the rewards of wealth. Barring the occasional and accidental acquirement of wealth, like the lottery, the material rewards of the temporal life are found to flow in certain well-organized channels, and only those who have access to these channels may expect to be well rewarded for their temporal efforts. Poverty must ever be the lot of men who seek for wealth in isolated and individual channels. Wise planning, therefore, becomes the one thing essential to true prosperity. Success requires not only devotion to one's work, but also that one should function as a part of some one of the channels of material wealth. We see that in the design of the universe, there's a flow of energies, and that what we want to do is to align ourselves with the harmony of those energies. And so that's what we're going to do in these next seven programs. We're going to discuss the seven keys to successful living, seven keys to the authentic life, seven keys to true prosperity, seven keys to the symphony of the universe.
Somehow the sun.
last episode, from the prayer of St. Francis, we read, Spirit within me, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Let's take the second part of that first. We are told that love is the answer, that if we could only learn to love enough, we would be able to make the world a better place. If we could only love more, we would be better. We would be happier. So, our question for the angels, why don't we? Why don't we love more? All of the ancient teachers, the prophets, gurus, holy men and women, all the saints and saviors have told us that love is the way. So why don't we love more? Well, the answer is rather simple, but the solution is very difficult. Let me illustrate. Have you ever had a toothache? Have you ever had one of those toothaches, or a headache, or some pain situation that was so profound that you couldn't do anything? It incapacitated you. Here's the question. Who were you thinking of? Right. We were thinking of ourselves and the pain that we were in. And that's what pain does to us. It makes us self-centered, self-involved. Pain makes us selfish. We become self-concerned or egocentric. Any number of words describe it, and we all know what it is. Now, there are many types of pain, physical pain, such as a toothache or a headache, but there's also mental pain and spiritual pain that many of us are going through. The mental pain, as in stress and anguish, and spiritual pain, as in the dark night of the soul. Many of us have experienced this, and these arise mostly out of fear, because we are fear-based animals. We have a fear-based animal mind that we have acquired through the process of evolution. Now, there is fear of physical pain or unsatisfying hunger or some earthly calamity. These are the natural processes through which the process of evolution has taken us. Pain and suffering are essential to progressive evolution. And the fear-based anxiety was the natural state of the savage mind, of our primitive ancestors. But when men and women fall victims to excessive anxiety, excessive stress, we are simply reverting back to the natural state of our far distant ancestors. But when anxiety and stress becomes actually painful, it inhibits our activity and it unfailingly institutes evolutionary changes and biological situations within us. But when our anxiety and stress become so painful that it inhibits our activity of just the normal functioning of life, then we have a serious, serious issue. And when that dark night of the soul comes upon us and the desperation and the despair and the depression that inevitably follows from it, then we must do something about it. Too often people linger in that. Also, all too often, we don't tell ourselves the truth about what is really going on. We mar our minds with insincerity and cover up the problems, hide them, sweep them under the rug. And we sear our minds with attitudes and behaviors of revenge or getting even, because we subject them to this animal fear and distort them with this useless anxiety. Many studies have told us that 90% of the things that we worry about never happen. And so what we see is that our purpose in life is to grow from the fear-based animal mind to the love-based spirit mind. And we do this First, by telling ourselves the truth about what's really going on in our lives. And here at Spirit Quest, we're here to help you to make those destiny decisions, to help you to develop a philosophy of harmony in place of just the existence of living. As we've already seen, a philosophy of harmony, a philosophy for living that is in alignment with the rhythms of the cosmic consciousness is so vital and so important to our spiritual growth. And it moves us from our fear-based animal nature to our love-based spiritual nature. And we do this by learning to play the symphony of harmony, the symphony of building a world that works in seven keys. Today, we learn to play the first key. The first key is the old ancient wisdom that says, know thyself. And the first thing that we need to know is that we are not our pain. We are not our past. We are not even our thoughts. We are a soul, growing and developing and moving forward. Our destiny is in the stars, and it is based upon the choices and the decisions that we make in learning the seven keys of the symphony of life. The symphony of harmony, the symphony of building a world that works, one person at a time. And so we go back to that prayer of St. Francis that says, Spirit, Spirit, sweet, sweet Spirit within me, make me an instrument of thy peace. It is time for us to step out on our spiritual journey onto that path of becoming an instrument for thy peace. And we do it with the help of the greatest teacher that has ever lived on this planet.
I know he's going to take care of you. Let me hear you say yeah. Yeah. Say it again. Yeah. Say it again. Yeah. You know, over in the sanctified church, when they begin to feel like this, all the saints get together and they join in a little praise.
We refer to the Master, generally we refer to Jesus. And Jesus came to create in us a new spirit, a new will, to impart within us a new capacity for knowing the truth, experiencing compassion, and choosing goodness, the will to be in harmony with God's will. Coupled with that eternal urge that springs from within us to become perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect, to strive for excellence, to constantly be pushing ourselves to higher levels of excellence. And as we do, we begin to recognize why it is so important to take care of your spiritual life. Because we see that when we take care of our spiritual life, the material life falls into place. Providence becomes increasingly discernible as we reach upwards from the material to the spiritual. The attainment of completed spiritual insight enables you and I to detect harmony that we at first saw as chaos. We've all experienced chaos in our life. We have experienced that dread that comes over us like a cold, dark blanket. And for many of us, that blanket of dread lingers like the dark night of the soul and holds us in a disharmony that is unbearable. But with the touch of the Master Spirit who says, "I am here, I will never leave you," tells us that God sees us as whole and complete and perfect just the way we are, and what we are going through and what we have gone through is what we must go through in order to grow and be all that we can. Today we are passing through a period of courtship with the Spirit of God that is within us. And as the Urantia Papers tell us, and if you only prove faithful to the trust that is given to you by the Divine Spirit, who seeks harmony with your mind and soul in eternal union, there will eventually come into being that soul oneness, that supernal harmony, that cosmic coordination. that divine attunement, the celestial fusion, that never-ending blend of identity, that oneness of being which is so perfect and final that even the most experienced personalities in all the universe can never segregate or recognize as separate identities, the fusion partners of God and you. You are whole and complete and perfect, and there is more excellence that lies in front of you. The key is to learn the symphony of life, and today the first key is to know thyself, to tell yourself the truth about what is going on in your life, and to make destiny decisions, and to grow a life that is full of joy and happiness and optimism, and to recognize that you are a child of God, and that we know that the light of God is within us, and that the love of God flows through us as we give it away, and the power of God to do goodness in the world flows to us as it flows through us as we give it all away, and that the presence of God is with us and always is with us, will never leave us, and so wherever we are, God is. You have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week. God bless you. Gumshoe, out.